This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
97.1 FM Talk.
On-demand audio.
Oh, and you can follow my bunny, Oreo, at Oreo Smorio the Bunny on Instagram as well. He's got like, I think he's up to 2 million followers or something like that. Every time I say that, Sue thinks I'm serious. It's not quite that much. Joe Warmington, who writes for the Toronto Sun, and he's quite the character. I love Joe. We've been having him on as a guest for many, many years, reacting to some of the things that happened between the United States and Canada. He's going to join us at the bottom of the hour. I have an amazing audio cut of the day coming up a little later. But look, I've admitted that the tariff issue, well, two things. I'm not an expert on tariffs, and I'm a little uncomfortable about the impact that this could have to the American people. Blake Hurst is back with us this afternoon. He is a farmer, a corn, soybean, greenhouse farmer in Tarkio, Missouri. He's long been a spokesperson on a lot of these issues. And Blake, how are you this afternoon? Look, it's a complicated time, isn't it?
Well, it is. It's been kind of a long day as we've dealt with the fallout from the imposition of the tariffs.
So what are your thoughts here? I mean, genuinely, I'm deferring to a lot of experts on this stuff because my livelihood is not at stake here. But obviously, we all go to the grocery store. We see what's happened with egg prices. That's maybe a little different because of the bird flu. But just on the tariff issue, how could this potentially shake out for Missouri farmers or farmers in the Midwest?
Well, when I opened my email this morning, we have a greenhouse business. Spang and Moss is almost all produced up in Canada. We have a truckload of potting soil, which is mostly Spang and Moss, coming next week, and the price just went up $1,750. So that was my introduction to the day.
That doesn't sound like a good introduction, does it?
Yeah. And during the course of a year, we'll get five or six loads. So that's about a $10,000 hit to our bottom line. And, of course, you know, on corn, we've seen about a 50-cent drop in corn prices in the last 2 weeks. Now, obviously, commodity prices are affected by a lot of different things. But you have to wonder if this precipitous drop wasn't caused by tariffs on two of our three biggest customers. Actually, three of our biggest customers. I mean, it's like it was aimed at farmers. So yeah, there's got to be a little concern for those of us that depend on export markets for corn, soybeans, wheat, and also import things from other countries as well.
Well, Blake, a lot of people who supported and voted for President Trump, I'm sure, are in rural areas across the country, certainly in Missouri, and then are farmers. So there's going to be, I think, some pause given to some of these actions. Is there any thought right now, and I don't know where else you could go, but if you try to think this as potentially a positive, to say, okay, we know there's negotiations going on, there's threats, they're playing some politics right now, this will settle down and maybe work itself out a little bit, or is that naive?
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, I haven't the slightest idea. It was interesting. The salesman, the broker that sells us the potting soil this morning said, well, a lot of people are saying this won't last but 2 weeks. We can hold your potting soil. And we went out and counted up our inventory, and we decided we had to have it. We didn't have a choice.
Okay.
So Canada treats dairy farmers in the U.S. pretty poorly. I mean, there's a lot of import restrictions from our dairy going into Canada. So in 2 weeks, we get a deal that lets us sell a little bit more milk and cheese to Canada. Well, then it will have been worth the short-term
right.
pain.
And, to me, it seems like that's probably the goal here, right? Because it's hard for me to believe that the president and the administration want to hurt American farmers. They're looking to make things on an equal playing field. At least that's the way it's been pitched.
Well, I sure hope so.
Yeah. Well, and I think a lot of us hope so. Look, there's, you know, when criticism is warranted for policies, I'm certainly not afraid to do that, but I think I'm taking a bit of a wait-and-see approach right now. What would you say about the other issue that's affecting prices right now with the bird flu? We all love our eggs. We go to the grocery store, and sometimes the shelves aren't full. You got prices that we're not used to, certainly in California, out west. I've been in Las Vegas. They're even higher out there. How's that affecting folks in the Midwest, and how do we get a handle on that, Blake?
Well, it's a real problem. The USDA just announced $1 billion to try to fight bird flu. We have a vaccine, but there's two problems. One is we can't put vaccinated products into international markets because you can't tell the difference between a bird or a meat that's been vaccinated or a bird that has bird flu. So that's a concern. And the other reason is just sort of a practical thing. You know, chickens are grown in big barns. There's tens of thousands of chickens in a barn. And right now we have to give each individual chicken a shot. So that's extraordinarily expensive. And those people that are giving the medicine can actually be a vector for the disease as well. So until we figure out how to get this disease in this vaccine into feed or water, it's going to be a real challenge for poultry producers.
So what you said there caught my attention, and maybe people know this. Every chicken makes sense. They have to be individually given the vaccine.
Yeah, they have to get shot just like you do when you get the flu vaccine. Well, you can imagine how stressful that is on chickens, how stressful it is on the guy trying to catch them, and how much it costs. So right now, and of course we're worried about the trade effects of vaccinated poultry. So right now we're, you know, working to get a vaccine that can be given some other way, and also, you know, talk to our trading partners and see if there's a way we can work this out.
What would be the other way? Would it be something that could be ingested in food or something along those lines?
Oh yeah, sure.
Yeah,
If you could put it, yeah. And I, you know, my assumption is there's a heck of a lot of research going on that very issue. And the other thing we can do, this is spread by geese, by ducks. We're going to have to get a lot better biosecurity. In other words, you know, just sort of simple things. Not if a truck goes from one farm to next, it's probably going to have to be washed. You better make darn sure your barn doesn't have a hole that a wild bird can get through. So what they call biosecurity is very important as well. People can't travel from barns to barn. So, you know, it's all, and that's a lot of work and a lot of expense, and it will take time.
Yeah, well, look, you're putting a lot of this into perspective. Let me ask one final question on the bird flu topic. When you're talking about the export market with the vaccines, is there any kind of compromise possible there to make that easier to export or not?
Well, I would assume that if people, you know, can trace the meat, trace the birds back to the farm, and the farm is vaccinated in a way that you know, the rules and the regulations require, then I assume that most customers would be happy to take that meat. Better that, obviously, than the chance of bird flu being in the meat. So I will say this, I'd be real slow about, you know, it's showing up in dairy herds as well. If milk is pasteurized, it's not a problem. I'd be a little slow about raw milk right at the present time.
That's good advice there. Well, Blake, listen, I candidly, I don't know you very well, but you sound a little beaten down. I know it's been a rough day. We got to hope that some of this stuff works itself out, right?
Yeah, well, we've got we're getting ready to spend the night with our greenhouses because we're supposed to have a 70-mile-an-hour wind by midnight. So not a great day.
Oh yeah, that's another challenge. Well, God bless you. Thanks, Blake, for squeezing me in here today. Okay.
Yeah, appreciate it.
We'll see. I didn't even think about that, but that's a mess as well. Look, earlier today, it was probably just like 30, 35-mile-per-hour winds, and they were really intense.
Yeah, and it's supposed to be a wind advisory in effect from 6 tomorrow morning to 6 p.m. up to 50-mile-per-hour gusts.
That's strong winds.
I know.
Those are the kind that are going to shake you around even when you're driving. Okay, I mentioned this earlier. I have a little time to do this right now. There's no doubt this is going to be one of those days where I don't get everything in that I want to, and there's a couple of pieces of audio that I still haven't gotten to, but I like Michael Rappaport as a comedian and as an actor. He's a guy that if you don't know him by name, you'd know his face.
You would.
Character actor. He's been in a lot of different things. He's always been a bit of a regular on Howard Stern because he plays fantasy football with that gang over there. I've interviewed Michael before. I've met him here at KMOX when I was on that side when he comes in to do Funny Bone stuff. But he's Jewish, and he's been very active on social media and elsewhere on the topic of Israel. And something that I just found out here, I was about to read this because I want to read it, but you know how sometimes when you have something printed, the ads take over?
Yes.
I almost started to read this thing, and I can't do it because Fred's version that was printed out has an ad over it. So let me get to this.
Because I find that a lot with recipes online. Yeah, side note.
I don't like that, right? Uh-uh. Let's see. I spelled his name. Here
two
we go.
P's.
Here it is. Okay, I started. I tried to do it with two P's. That's not good. So here's his column. My message to my haters up north, and this is fascinating when you think about it, and the subheadline is, a Canadian politician is trying to bar me from the country where I'm scheduled to perform a few gigs. I'm offering her front row seats. I have to be careful here because Michael, not unlike the host, is very fond of profanity, and he may let some slip in this particular article, so my finger is on the dump button, so I don't have to dump myself. But he goes this. He says, I've seen a lot of hate in the past 513 days. 2 months after Hamas's massacre, anti-Israel groups launched a social media campaign to discourage people from attending my show in Sacramento. So that was, you know, a couple years ago. And the reason was because he was very vocal on this particular issue. And he was really vocal when things started to get out of control on college campuses in particular. Anyway, just a little background. He goes, in January last year, my show in Portland, Oregon was protested too. 6 months after that, a Chicago venue canceled my act over, quote, safety concerns. And the day after, hooligans chased Jewish soccer fans through the streets of Amsterdam in November of 2024. Hundreds turned up to demonstrate against my gig in Lakeview, Illinois, a Chicago suburb heavily populated with Jews. And Michael says, I'm not alone. Many of my fellow Jewish performers are facing this kind of abuse right now simply because we support the existence of a Jewish state. This is really amazing to me. And I will admit a certain, well, maybe not even a certain amount, a high degree of naivete when it came and when it currently comes to the amount of anti-Semitism that is, like, they're not even trying to hide it. Right? It's one thing when stuff is in the shadows, but a lot of this stuff isn't even being hidden, which is, I think, even shocking and staggering to someone like me. So he says this, on Friday morning, I woke up to the craziest campaign against me ever. When I checked my social media feed, I saw that Heather McPherson, who is in the Canadian Parliament and a member of the New Democratic Party, was not just attacking me, but calling on her government to deny my entry into the country. Now, I'll pitch this little story, and maybe Joe knows about this. Joe Warmington's coming up here from the Toronto Sun. And we're going to talk about, you know, Trudeau and the tariffs and all that. But this is a fascinating story. So she posts on social media, new Democrats are alarmed that American personality Michael Rappaport is scheduled to perform in Canada. Rappaport, who has a significant criminal history, she said, also has a long history of racist and Islamophobic speech and of inciting violence and supporting terrorism. Her post goes on to say, we are witnessing an alarming increase in Islamophobia in Canada and globally. All Canadians deserve to feel safe in our communities. And in his piece, and this was in the Free Press, by the way, Rappaport said at the end, she once again urged Justin Trudeau's party to take action against me, saying new Democrats are calling on Liberal government to deny entry to Michael Rappaport. Let's just stop there for a second. Let's think about this. Because an American comedian and actor believes in the existence of a Jewish state and has been pretty, you know, pointed on his position against, oh, what's it called, terrorism and the brutal slaughter of Jews. You have a member of Canadian Parliament that's encouraging her prime minister, a big wussy that he is, Justin Trudeau, to not allow the dude into the entire country. That's what we're talking about.
Come
here.
On.
So Rappaport says, look, I've got no beef with Ms. McPherson. I've never met her or even heard of her, which is something I have in common with most people. But I guess what ticked her off is that I'm heading to Canada this week to perform 5 stand-up shows in Edmonton, Alberta's capital city, which McPherson represents. First, let's make a few things clear. I have no criminal history other than calling my ex-girlfriend Lily Taylor too many times back in 1997. He says, I'm not ashamed. I was in love. I have no outstanding warrants. I don't have any parking tickets. As far as racist Islamophobia, my only phobia currently is of radical jihadists. I'll admit, I have a phobia of anyone who wants to kill, hurt, or dehumanize Jews. The irony, he wrote, is that Ms. McPherson in her post asserted that hate has no place in Canada.
What?
Ironic, right? Except, of course, when hate is directed toward Jews, which Canada apparently has no problem with. That's what Rappaport wrote. Luckily, at least for now, it seems Trudeau and his party aren't listening. I'll be crossing the border this week. But he says the real issue is this. 59 hostages, both dead and alive, are still being held by Hamas in Gaza. Rather than call attention to that or to the horrific anti-Semitism sweeping her own country, this member of parliament is spending her capital making pleas to keep me out. A comedian, an American comedian, right? Rather than fixing whatever is going wrong in her own backyard. He says, this isn't the first time people have found me objectionable. Many take offense at my habit of saying the word F every 3 seconds. This is going to my point about profanity. And I've always spoken my mind. By the way, fair enough here, Michael Rappaport ain't no conservative. He's not a MAGA guy. He does not like Trump. So he has spoken out plenty, you know, for the Democrats. But on this issue, I think he's very consistent. He even says, you know, I've rallied in support of every cause. Black Lives Matter. I threw up in my mouth a little bit there. Women's rights, equal pay for women in Hollywood. The trendy things, the not trendy things, everything under the sun. I'm a promiscuous rally goer, but I've never faced any pushback or threats of cancellation until I started defending Israel. He wrote, I don't look for trouble. I do, however, refuse to give in to bullies. That's why since October 7th, I've called out people in Hollywood who have remained silent on this issue, who haven't had the moral backbone to denounce the moral depravity of those who stand on the side of terrorist regimes. It's why at the 1 year anniversary of the invasion, I went to Israel, he wrote, to do 2 shows. I was very close to canceling them out of fear the moment was too heavy for laughter, but every single person I met there insisted I go ahead, and those shows were an honor to perform. And he said, although my show isn't entirely about being Jewish or October 7th, the best parts of my show, in my opinion, are. That's because comedy comes from real life situations. I agree with him on that. And great comedy comes from pain and heartbreak. And I think that's true as well. Even so, I've often wondered, how could I stand up on stage and make people laugh in a moment as heavy as this one? Well, Michael Rappaport says Heather McPherson is how. Because he says, since that horrible day in Israel, I've never been prouder to be Jewish. And I'm only more motivated by cowards like her. Lately, he says, I've started wearing Teflon. It's a religious practice where you wrap a set of small black leather boxes that contain Torah verses to your body, which is meant to remind you of your ever-present existence of God. And he kind of goes on and he talks about some of the more anti-Semitic incidents that have happened in Canada. And he's saying, if you're reading this, Heather, I have a front row seat reserved for you and new Democrats, and that's a genuine offer. And I think we know what would happen with that genuine offer with someone like Heather McPherson, who's a member of Parliament. She ain't going to take advantage of that. But that was a great column on the Free Press by Michael Rappaport. And we may not agree on a lot of things related to politics, but on that one, 100%.
Get more at 971talk.com.